Hello, my name is Kayla Verhoeven, and this is the first part of the Pantograph for Thursday, March the 26th of 2026. We're going to go ahead and start off with Keeping the Vision, New Specs Around Town, Owner Brings Holistic Side of Eye Care by D. Jack Alkire, 2 hours ago. Women's History Month in Local Business, Bloomington. While many people view eyeglasses as merely a functional necessity, Jenna Bixby Neal, the new owner of Specs Around Town in downtown Bloomington, wants glasses to be a fashion statement. "I don't think people oftentimes think about glasses as an accessory," she said. "They think about it as more as a medical device, and it's fun to have the opportunity, especially here at Specs, to offer that to this community." Specs Around Town carries a dozen boutique and bespoke brands of frames from companies the world over, Bixby Neal said, while still offering the lens styles and prescriptions a customer may need. Bixby Neal, who also owns the Bixby Eye Center in Peoria, purchased the Bloomington boutique in January, promising to keep the atmosphere and customer experience that Julie Kupska created and maintained for nearly 30 years. "Even this morning, I've had several patients in and they have thanked me for purchasing the business and keeping it going," Bixby Neal said in mid-March. "It has been a wonderful opportunity to meet people, and I'm trying to meet everyone that comes through the door." Patient care. Bixby Neal got her start in optometry at a young age, helping her father out at the Bixby Eye Center at age 14 in 1984. She studied to be an optometrist at the University of Iowa before pivoting to nursing and earning her degree at Bradley University in 1997. For 5 years, she worked as a nurse at Methodist Hospital in Peoria before the medical center was purchased by Unity Point and then Carle Health. She eventually earned a master's degree in healthcare administration and held a management position for about a decade. But something was calling her back to that eye clinic. "I decided, in my early 40s, I was either going to do something else, go back to school, or pursue going back into the eye care business, which I absolutely love." She kept the holistic approach that nurses are well known for as well, even referring to those who come through the door at Specs as patients. "Listening to the patient or the customer has always been my number one thing that I have told people, whether it's being a nurse or working in the eye care business," she said. "You have to listen to what the patient says or what the client says, because there could be one or two key words that may spark a thought for you. A wealth of medical information can be gained from an eye exam," Bixby Neal said, "including retina health, potential glaucoma progression, and, if the patient has diabetes, the progression of diabetic retinopathy. We can also see the vascular system in the back of the eye," she said. "We can see potential spots in the eye that could be a cause for concern, such as a freckle or something that could lead to melanoma or something like that. We're always looking inside the eye, too, to make sure that it's healthy." A wardrobe of glasses. The service at Specs is specialized for each individual, not only their medical needs, but how the glasses fit, how heavy the frames are, how tightly they hug the face, or how they sit on the ear, for example. And then we also take into consideration their face shape, color analysis, and those types of things. What looks good on their complexion. They also consider the patient's lifestyle, she added. "Are you retired and you just need a pair to wear all the time, everywhere, doing anything?" she said. "Are you out on the water fishing in the summer? Do we need polarized lenses? Is it a child? Do we need shatterproof lenses for safety purposes? Or do we need a thin lens because the prescription's really heavy and we want to make it the thinnest and lightest possible?" So there's a lot that goes into it. A lot. Still, Bixby Neal said that this should not stop people from having multiple pairs of glasses with a diverse set of frames. "I always tell people it's nice to have a wardrobe of glasses," she said. "Much like other accessories, turned fashion statements like footwear. We love shoes," she said. "Purses, we just don't have one purse." Bixby Neal said she would like people to start treating glasses like a part of an outfit, using her frames as an example. "I like to wear my blue pair with my denim outfits, or I like to wear a gold pair with my cream-colored outfits, or what have you," she said. Keep moving forward. It had always been a dream to own a business, but Bixby Neal took not the straight path there. But that's okay, because I made it eventually. That journey was not always the easiest, she said. There's a lot of long days, sometimes difficult decisions, and sometimes disappointing decisions, but I think just keep moving forward. And I even tell myself sometimes to just keep moving forward, Jenna, she said, just keep moving forward. Because that, to me, is the only way to go. We're not going backwards. We're only going forward. Specs Around Town is now open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. But Bixby Neal said she hopes to open soon on Saturdays. Walk-ins are welcome, but appointments can be made online at specsaroundtown.com or by calling 309-827-7327. Once again, walk-ins are welcome, but appointments can be made online at specsaroundtown.com or by calling 309-827-7327. In other news, insurance bill passes the House. A measure would combine homeowners and auto regulations by Peter Hancock, Capital News, Illinois, 2 hours ago. State government, Springfield. A bill would give the Illinois Department of Insurance authority to review and approve rates for both homeowners and automobile coverage. Those two proposals, which started as separate pieces of legislation, were combined into a single bill that passed the House on March the 19th. The combined bill now awaits Senate approval before being sent to Governor J.B. Pritzker. Pritzker initially called for rate reviews and authority over homeowners insurance last summer after Bloomington-based State Farm Insurance announced it was raising rates in Illinois an average of 27.2%, citing losses it had incurred from weather-related disasters in the state. Pritzker, however, questioned that rationale. He and legislative leaders suggested the company may have been shifting losses from disasters in other states onto Illinois consumers. He also used the controversy to highlight the fact that unlike most other states, Illinois exercises no control over insurance premiums and has no law prohibiting excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory rates in the insurance industry. Separately, Secretary of State Alexei Giuliani has been pushing for the reforms in automobile insurance sectors, arguing insurance companies were setting rates based on factors such as a person's credit rating that have little or nothing to do with their driving records. Neither bill made it through the General Assembly in 2025. A bill regulating homeowners insurance passed the Senate during the fall veto session in October, but failed on the floor of the House just before lawmakers adjourned. Product of negotiations. The bill that emerged in the House last week was the product of continued negotiations among lawmakers and the governor's office, although the insurance industry says it still opposes the final product. Senate Bill 1486, as amended by the House, would prohibit companies from charging quote-unquote excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory rates for auto and homeowners insurance. And starting July 1st of 2027, it would require them to give consumers at least 60 days notices before raising the premiums 10% or more. It would also establish a procedure for the insurance department to review and approve new rating files or filings after July 1st of 2027. Although companies would still be allowed to file new rates and begin collecting premiums under those terms immediately, the department would have the authority to review those rates. If the agency finds them to be excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory, it would notify the company, which could then request an administrative hearing. If after the hearing, the agency still finds the rates excessive, it could reject the rate filings. It would have also had the authority to order the company to rebate customers for any excessive premiums it had collected. The bill would also prohibit the practice of quote-unquote cost shifting by requiring companies to use quote-unquote credible state-specific data in setting rates whenever such data is available and statistically reliable. These legislations are important to home and car owners of Illinois who are struggling with increasing insurance rates. Representative Thaddeus Jones, a Democrat from Calumet City, the bill's chief House sponsor said during the floor debate. Insurance industry concerns. Representative Jeff Kiker, a representative for Sycamore, who works as an insurance agent, said the new bill was an improvement over earlier visions. But he said it does not address the factors that he said are the real causes of rising premiums, the rising frequency of catastrophic weather events, and the proliferation of quote-unquote storm chasers who exploit those events for their own profit at the expense of insurance companies. Those storm chasers are driving additional insurance claims and additional costs, he said. We continue to see lawsuits filed for dubious reasons that continue to drive up costs. Kiker and a number of other lawmakers who work in the insurance industry abstained from voting on the bill. It passed 66-40 and will next be sent to the Senate. It was not immediately clear how quickly the Senate would take up the bill. The Illinois Insurance Association and the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, as well as the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies, issued a joint statement following the House vote, saying the bill represented one of the most sweeping and harmful insurance regulatory overhauls in the state's history, and that it would end up harming the Illinois consumers. Illinois families are already facing an affordability crisis, with property, taxes, gas, grocery, and utility bills all rising, the organization said. Inflation is squeezing household budgets from every direction. At a moment when lawmakers should be laser-focused on affordability, the General Assembly is instead advancing radical legislation that would make both auto and homeowners insurance more expensive for nearly every Illinois household. In other crime and courts news, the top story spotlight. A normal man found guilty of shooting another man during a drug deal in Bloomington. By Caitlin Klepek, 21 hours ago. Bloomington. A man from Normal, accused of shooting another man during a drug deal, has been found guilty by a McLean County jury. Damani C. Good, 30 years old, was initially charged with 8 weapon offenses in January of 2025 in a shooting. The state dismissed 2 counts of aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon earlier this year, and on Wednesday, March the 18th, the jury found him guilty of 1 count of unlawful possession of a firearm as a repeat felony offender, 2 counts of aggravated discharge of a firearm, and 3 counts of unlawful possession of a weapon. The jury reached its verdict after about 3.5 hours of deliberations at the end of the trial that began on Monday, March the 16th. Assistant State's Attorney Spencer Chikahisha prosecuted this case before Judge Jason Chambers, and Good represented himself at trial. Case details. Bloomington officers responded at about 5:20 p.m. on January the 13th of 2025 to the 300 block of Riley Drive for reports of gunfire in the area and a person shot. A witness told authorities his friend had been shot after they went to an apartment to purchase cannabis from Shiante Hinkle, prosecutors previously said. When they went to leave, the witness told police, a man approached the car wearing a gray backpack, pulled out a handgun at the witness associate, who was in the driver's seat. The armed man told him to give him everything he had, according to this witness. The witness then exited the car and saw Hinkle standing near his apartment door holding a rifle. The man with the handgun got into the car to try to steal from the driver and fired the gun, striking the driver in the leg. The man who was injured then drove himself to a local hospital. The vehicle also sustained damage with 3 bullet holes in its side and the blood on the driver's seat. At the scene, officers found several shell casings in a gray backpack with a number lock located outside of Hinkle's residence. The backpack contained more than 0.5 pound of cannabis, a large bag that the field tested positive for cocaine, as well as 3 pistols. Hinkle, 30, was detained 2 days after the shooting, and he remains in custody, facing 1 count of Class X armed violence, 17 weapon charges, and 4 drug charges. His next pretrial hearing is scheduled for 10 a.m. on March the 26th. Hinkle identified Good to police by a photo and told police he saw Good enter the victim's vehicle prior to the gunfire. Sentencing to come. Good is scheduled for a sentencing hearing at 1:30 p.m. on May the 28th. According to a news release from McLean County State's Attorney Erica Reynolds, Good is eligible for 6 to 30 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections for unlawful possession of a firearm by a repeat felony offender, to be served at 85%. Probation, conditional discharge, or 4 to 15 years in prison for the 2 aggravated discharge of a firearm charges, to be served at 85%. His remaining charges are eligible for 3 to 14 years in prison, to be served at 50%. The McLean County State's Attorney's Office wishes to thank the Bloomington Police Department for their thorough investigation. Assistant State Attorney Spencer Chakisha worked diligently to ensure justice was delivered on behalf of the citizens of McLean County. Their efforts have made the streets of McLean County safer, Reynolds said in the news release. In other news, the Bureau is to use mail carriers in census test, by Mike Schneider and Susan Hay, Associated Press 2 hours ago. Even though some doubts have been raised about its effectiveness, the U.S. Census Bureau is trying out whether to use U.S. postal carriers as a census takers this spring during a test of the 2030 headcount in 2 southern cities, a practice run already facing criticism over last-minute changes by the Trump administration. Starting in June, dozens of postal carriers in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and Huntsville, Alabama, will ask personal questions about race, ethnicity, and the relationships of residents and households that have not yet responded to a test census questionnaire online. Invitations to respond to the test online go out to 154,600 residents in both cities starting May the 1st, according to new details the Census Bureau released on Monday. The practice run was meant to try out new methods for the once-a-decade census, which determines political power and the distribution of federal funds. They typically think that it's kind of a cool thing and that they're a little bit of a guinea pig, said Brian Renfro, the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers. In Spartanburg, 25 postal workers participating in the pilot will knock on doors and ask the census test questions of households along their routes. They will identify themselves as postal workers and be paid their normal U.S. Postal Service pay rates. The average hourly wage for postal carriers was $28.79 as of 2024, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Non-postal worker census takers are being paid $17.75 an hour in Spartanburg. In Huntsville, the Census Bureau plans to recruit 25 volunteer postal workers who will collect responses from households outside of their regular mail-delivering working hours, in the evenings or on weekends. They will identify themselves as Census Bureau employees and be paid the same rate of $19.75 cents an hour as other census takers. Adding census questions to their routines will just be one of several elements, like the weather, traffic, and the amount of letters or packages needing delivery that postal carriers calculate into their workloads each day, Renfro said. Letter carriers, they know their people, he said. You've got kind of some trust that's already built in here. The idea of using postal carriers to ask in-person census questions has been kicking around for decades by supporters who say it would leverage an existing workforce and use postal carriers' knowledges of the households along their routes. In other news, in education, a top story spotlight. Heartland Board okays regional strategic plans for Lincoln and Pontiac campuses. In Pontiac, Heartland Community College plans to expand healthcare and career technical opportunities at its regional campuses in Lincoln and Pontiac through 2031. Heartland's Board of Trustees met at the Pontiac campuses on Tuesday and approved 5-year regional strategic plans that aim to meet the needs of the communities at both regional centers. According to documents from the college, both plans prioritize expanding training programs in areas like healthcare, manufacturing, and transportation, while addressing barriers to those career paths in Logan and Livingston counties. In Pontiac, Heartland is looking to establish a dedicated Certified Nursing Assistant, or CNA, lab and graduate at least 20 CNA students annually by 2031. Along with additional 20 graduates in related healthcare certificate programs. Lincoln's plan aims for 35 CNA graduates a year and 20 additional graduates within those healthcare certificate programs. Additionally, both campuses plan to launch HVACR heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration certification programs, as well as expanding welding and advanced manufacturing offerings and build partnerships with local employers to create direct pipelines from training to employment. Pontiac is aimed for 40 annual technical certificate graduates, while Lincoln is targeting 50. For Pontiac, the plan looks to support child care training programs and offer guidance for individuals seeking licenses to open home-based child care businesses to address gaps in child care services. Pontiac's plan also includes expanding English as a Second Language, or ESL, programs, as well as GED courses, to serve a growing Hispanic population and increase workforce readiness. In Lincoln, the strategic plan includes support for military veterans and individuals who lack high school credentials. The college plans to connect at least 25 veterans annually with career pathways and serve 50 GED students each year. Both campuses are also looking to strengthen partnerships with local high schools to encourage students to pursue post-secondary education or short-term certificates. Pontiac is targeting enrollment rates of up to 35% among graduates from Pontiac Township High School. At the same time, Lincoln aims for a similar level of engagement from Lincoln Community High School and surrounding districts. Both campuses aim to grow overall enrollment by 10% and expand general education offerings that transfer towards 4-year degrees. Finance and projects. In other business, the board was presented with a clean audit for fiscal year 2025 and an update on its fiscal year of 2027 strategic budget. Steve Fast, assistant to the president and public information and communication director, said in an email on Wednesday that the budget shows about a $1.5 million deficit at this stage, but the college's vice president for finance and administration, Noah Lamb, intends to present a balanced budget when the tentative budget is presented in June. In addition, the board approved a $6,589,000 to PJ Hoare of the third phase of the upcoming Student Center project at the current Workforce Development Building at the Normal Campus. The final phase of the project will start in the summer and will be completed by the summer of 2027. The update will create center spaces for enrollment services, student access and accommodation services, and the Heartland Academy for learning opportunities on the second floor. Adult education suites will be created on the third floor. All of the remaining original finishes will be refreshed, and a second elevator will be installed to increase accessibility. The south entrance will include an elevated plaza to host events and offer improved pathways, as well as address accessibility and safety concerns. Fast said in the email that the bid came in significantly under the previously approved budget for the project and resulted in a 10% contingency from the savings. In other local news, we have an alert, a top story. CIRA is accepting donations in Bloomington for the unpaid TSA employees by Drew Zimmerman 20 hours ago. Bloomington. The Central Illinois Regional Airport is setting up a food and household supply donation effort for the Transportation Security Administration employees in Bloomington who have not been paid during the partial government shutdown. We talked with the transportation security manager here at CIRA to consider realistic efforts that would help our TSA employees who come to work every day, continuing to provide professional frontline security, Carl Olson said, executive director of the Central Illinois Regional Airport Authority, to a news release. Gift cards to grocery stores, as well as gas stations, in $20 denominations, as well as non-perishable food items and household products, may be dropped off at the airport security checkpoint or during the airport authority offices from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., located on the mezzanine level. Members of the public using the security checkpoint should be mindful of passengers who are in the screening lines. Once again, gift cards to grocery stores and gas stations in $20 denominations, non-perishable food items, as well as household products, may be dropped off at the airport security checkpoint or during the airport authority offices from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. located on the mezzanine level. Members of the public using the security checkpoint should be mindful of passengers who are in the screening lines. How time flies for March 26th of 2026. 100 years ago, on March 26th of 1926, reports are coming in of the depredations of boys in some of the residence districts, with the chief damage being done to new lawns. Some have suggested that the police be called. Mud has been thrown at houses as well as walks. Wire fences have been put up to guard new lawns, but have been ignored, and those same lawns are being damaged. 75 years ago, on March the 26th of 1951, a total of 2,282 season tickets, the largest number in Community Players history, were sold for the 1950-51 season. Dean Litt, president of the Players, announced the organization also had its biggest box office sales in its history, with $1,279.50 were sold at the box office at the Scottish Rite Temple. 50 years ago, on March the 26th of 1976, the squawk over mechanical problems with voting devices may not be covered in McLean County. State's attorney Paul R. Welch intends to examine ballots from at least one county precinct in hopes of learning more about these problems. 25 years ago, on March the 26th of 2001, at Bridgestone slash Fire Incorporated, Firestone Incorporated, announced on March the 25th that it will cut production and temporarily lay off about 100 employees at its normal plant. About one-fifth of the plant's 496 workers are being idled because the softening economy has cut demand for the off-road tires and inventory is too high, said Mark Lyons, human resource manager for the plant on Ford Jesse Road. The workers started receiving their three-day notices as of Sunday night's shift, Lyons said. All layoffs should be complete by April the 1st. It is the third layoff in 5 months at the normal facility. Lyons said the Nashville-based company is calling it temporary layoffs. Thank you for joining me today on the first part of the Pantograph. My name is Kayla Verhoeven. This has been the Thursday, March 26th version of 2026, and we will see you again on the second half. Thank you and have a good day, friends.